Welcome to Closet Conversations with Cody.
This is Cody Chembars, and we are excited for another Closet Conversations devotion this morning. Just a reminder, we are live every Monday morning on Facebook Live at 8:30 in the morning. We also have a YouTube channel where we upload all of our videos every Monday morning as soon as we finish our devotion. So please enjoy today's content, and we will see you soon. Good morning, beloved. Today is Monday, March the 23rd, 2020, and we are here for another Closet Conversations with Cody. Today is going to be a wonderful day, even though it's raining outside here in Georgia. Guess what? The rain washes the pollen away. The rain brings grass growing and flowers blooming, and rain is good. Rain is good. Amen and amen. Well, today what we're going to do is we're going to finally finish up our Tangled little series that we've been going on. If you tuned in last week, we talked about the four-letter F word, and we were talking about fear and how to battle fear, especially with everything that's going on in the U.S. and around the world. So if you didn't listen to that, that is on the podcast and the YouTube channel. But today we're going to finish up the Tangled series. And so if you have not heard of those two previous videos and devotions that we did, the Tangled series, what we're going to do is we're just going to do a quick recap. And we're going to finish up today on talking about being a child of God. Amen. Amen. So with the Tangled series we started, it all started because I was watching the Tangled movie with my children, and I realized that the princess was, she didn't know she was a princess, and she was locked up by an evil person. And Holy Spirit just downloaded into me this idea of that's what we are walking around as sons and daughters of God. We are royalty, which we covered in part two. We are royalty. We are a priesthood. But most of us don't know that. Most of us are unaware of what we have and what we get because of being a child of God. And so in part one, we just read through the verses that we were made in the image of God in Genesis 1:27, that he knew us and formed us in the womb. That was in Jeremiah 1:5, that we are his masterpiece, created for good things that he planned for us. That was Ephesians 2, 1 Peter 2:9, that we are a chosen people, royal priests, a holy nation. 1 John 3:1, that's where we picked up that we are children, God's children. And that's what we're going to dive into today. But remember, the enemy is an identity thief. And I talked about my own personal experience having my identity stolen, how difficult it is to get it back. So that is what we are after. We have been after getting our identities back in Christ Jesus, who we are and whose we are. We know whose we are, but we don't know who we are inside the kingdom of God. And so the enemy is an identity thief. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy our God-given identity. And then in part two, we learn that we are priests, that the priests in the Old Testament, they were the people that went into the Holy of Holies, and that they could only go once a year, and they had to do all these sacrifices, and that they were able to be in the presence of God. But what we learned was that Jesus has become our high priest, and now the veil is torn. There is no separation for us to be able to go into and be in intimate relationship with God. Jesus removed that. That's what he said. I will tear this temple down in 3 days and I'll rebuild it. And now we no longer have to do sacrifices, and we no longer have to purify ourselves to be able to be with God. He can be with us because Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice. And we learned about that because Adam brought on the curse. When he and Eve partook of the fruit in the garden, there was a curse. There was a separation. That was death. Wages of your sin is death. So now there was separation. We couldn't be with God, which is why the priests had to go through and offer the sacrifices and sacrifice bulls and rams and goats and sheep. and birds. And so Jesus cleared that all up. And now we are the priests. We are able to minister the same way that Jesus ministered when he was here on earth. The Bible says that we will do greater things than what Jesus did because of him dying on the cross and being the ultimate sacrifice. So that's the priesthood, that we are called to minister. We are called to speak the words of God. We are called to live like Jesus did, pray, seek his face, and fast. Amen. And so we're going to pick up and we're going to close today with, what does it mean to be a child of God? A child of God. And I want to start with a few verses, and then we're going to, I found this incredible article. I did not write it, but as I was reading through it, Holy Spirit just prompted me to share what was written and what it looks like to be a child of God. So the four verses that we're going to talk about, Galatians 4:7, it says, "Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir." All I'm doing right now is I'm building up, I'm setting a foundation to show you that you are a child of God. And then we're going to talk about the benefits of being a child. "But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." John 1:12. Galatians 3:26, "For you are a children of God through faith in Christ Jesus." So now we have that verse backing up what John 1:12 says. And then we're going to talk about the verse that we've already covered. And this is really what helped us develop our identities in Christ. "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him." And that's 1 John 3:1. So I wanted to establish that foundation and just to let you know that you are a child of God, whether you believe it or not. Just like my four children belong to me, I am their father, they are my children. There is no doubt in their heart that I am their father. There is no worry when their father tells them they're going to do something, I'm going to do it. There is no worry in my children that they're not going to have food to eat, because their father will provide for them. There is no worry that there's a battle that's too big or an enemy that's attacking them that their father won't go to battle for them. That is the same earthly principles that we have here. Whether you had a relationship with your father that was incredible, that was great, you had lots of memories, he was a godly leader, or you had a father that didn't teach you anything about God, and maybe they mistreated you, maybe he abused you physically or emotionally, maybe you have a bad relationship with your earthly father, but you do not, that relationship here on earth does not determine your relationship with him, your father in heaven. Amen? Amen. Some of us struggle with that. Some of us struggle with the fact of we had a terrible earthly father experience. Maybe your father left you when you were a child, like my wife's dad. Right? Maybe they just weren't able to handle it for some reason and they walked away. God will never leave or forsake you. Never. He will fight your battles. He will provide food for you and your family. He will do what he says and his word says he will do, just like I will do for my children. Amen? You have to believe that, beloved. You have to know that without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt, there is no darkness that you can say without a shadow of a doubt that God is for you, God is good, and that you are his child. If you're struggling with that, that means that the enemy is attacking you. He wants to keep the identity that's been chosen for you before the beginning of the world, like it says in Ephesians, that we are his workmanship. He wants to keep that from you, because if he can keep that from you, then he can keep you from fulfilling the task that God has for you. Is this making sense? Is this making sense? All right. So here's what it means to be a child of God. Again, I didn't write this, but I thought it was so well written and so well articulated and put together that I'm just going to read it. I'm going to read it, and it's going to resonate with you the same way that it resonated with me. So the children of God are men and women who have entered into a covenant with God and are committed to doing His will. So we're going to stop just for a second here. You have to enter into a covenant with Jesus. You have to, and a covenant is just a contract. That's another word for contract. That's actually where the modern day contract came from. A covenant, and think of a covenant, a contract is stating that I am going to do one thing and the other party is going to do something in return for that. Okay, so the contract, the covenant, when you enter in with Jesus is when you submit your life, your will to Him. And this is very similar to the altar call that most churches will do. You confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay, so that's part one of the covenant, part one of the contract. But there is more. There are things that become part of the contract that says that I will live and I will serve Jesus with my tongue, with my body, with my finances, with everything that I have. It's not just, okay, I believe in Jesus, I'm saved, I have eternal salvation. That is not where it ends, beloved. Becoming a child of God means you are now, you represent the Father. So now, yes, we're going to sin and we're going to fall short, but we are called to be an ambassador and to be a representation of the Father. And just like we had talked about on part two, where when you go to school and the teachers know, oh, that's a Chembar's child. I remember him in school, or that is a Smith son. Oh, they were great. We represent our Heavenly Father. And so it's not just, I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth. Yes, that will bring salvation, but there are steps, there is fruit that you have to bear. Because now you have been marked. Now there was a transaction, there was a contract, there was a covenant that was put in place. And sadly, there are many Christians that are out there that are what's the word? They are negating the contract. They are defaulting on the contract. They're defaulting on the covenant. They're defaulting. Default means that you are not fulfilling the contract. You went to church, you got saved, you said the prayer, and then you went right back to the same old life that you did. And then on Sunday you go and you go to the altar and you repent, and then you feel that conviction, and then Monday you start all over again. Now, I am not condemning. I am releasing conviction, because that you were created for more. The enemy is still stealing your identity. If that is the pattern, if that is what you're doing, if you continue to live in the same sin patterns that you lived in when before you came to Jesus, did you really have a change of heart? Because what happens is, in my own testimony, when I decided, when I chose to be in a relationship with Jesus, I cut everything out. I stopped smoking weed. I stopped drinking alcohol. I stopped everything, because it's a change of heart. Repentance. Repent means metanoia. It means to change your mind about the sin that you've been drawn to, or you've been attracted to, or that you've been walking in. And so if you are a child of God, you are in a covenant relationship with Him. You are in a contract with Him that says, Lord, I will represent your name. I will represent what you stood for, what you stand for. I will speak the words that you spoke and the words that are in the Bible. I will be an encouragement. I will heal the sick. I will cleanse the leper. I will raise the dead. I will cast out demons. That's part of what was in the contract, the covenant. And so it's not just Lord, I believe in you. Forgive me of my sins. Now I receive eternal salvation. There is a requirement of you. Okay, I'm done preaching. The sons and daughters of God have given up living selfishly for their own pleasure and pursuits. They have decided to follow Jesus in a life of sacrifice and salvation. God's Spirit dwells in them, giving them power to resist evil and to pursue good. They are obedient to God's voice and they follow His commandments. They, like Moses as a young man, choose to suffer rather than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. Moses turned his back on honor, riches, and an easy, leisurely life. He chose to serve God and His people. Remember Moses, the one who was up on the mount for 40 days, who had the tablet of the Ten Commandments, and then comes down and sees that his people had just built a golden calf after being exiled from Egypt. Remember how frustrated and how angry he was that he threw the stone tablets down on the ground because of the sin that they had just committed? That's what we have to have in our heart. Not that we're angry at the people that are living in sin, but that the Christian brothers and sisters that are still living in debauchery, that are still living in sin, that are still going out and getting drunk on a Saturday night and then coming in to church on Sunday with alcohol in their breath. That's the type of mindset that we have to have. And then Moses goes back up on the mount and shares his frustration with God. And then when he comes down, listen, beloved, when he comes down, his face was so bright because he was in the presence of his Father that the people couldn't look on him and he had to put a veil over his face. The children of God, the sons and daughters, the true sons and daughters, should be in the presence and in communion and in such close relationship with the Father that we are so bright, that our lights are so bright, that it draws people to us and that they will see the light and the love of Jesus. Amen? True children of God do the same and are separate. That's where we get that verse that we are of the world but not in the world. Or we're in the world but not of the world. So we're in the world, but we're separate. We're not doing the same thing that other people are doing. We're not spreading fear. We're not spreading panic because we know who our Father is. The children of God are not spreading panic posts and fearful posts on their social media. They're not. They're not fearful. What they should be doing is they should be encouraging. They should be sharing Psalm 91. They should be sharing Psalm 96. They should be sharing uplifting verses. They should be sharing the different Psalms that says no plague will befall you. They should be sharing about the Exodus and where the Israelites were exiled from the Egyptians and how they walked through the river, the Red Sea, and they had manna. They should be encouraging people to bring them out of that fear. They cannot do and watch everything that is mainstream or keep company with just anyone because they want to keep their hearts pure from the corruption of this world and do not want to displease God, their loving Father. Are we willing to keep our hearts pure? Are we willing to say, I can't hang out with you anymore? I remember when I started my covenant, my relationship with Jesus, my old friends that I used to drink and party with, I had to separate from them. I couldn't be in the same company with them. I couldn't go to the same parties. I didn't want it. I could. I chose not to. I didn't want it. I didn't want that. It didn't entertain me anymore. It was empty. And that's why we are here. We need to fill that void, the emptiness that the sin and the debauchery brings. It's because there's a void. We need to show them that Jesus can fill that void. They realize that the suffering or denying their self-will is only momentary and leads to peace and the joy of victory. Their sacrifices will reap an eternal reward. They don't do just whatever their feelings or impulses dictate. They are thoughtful and consider what is pleasing to God. They choose to go against sinful tendencies and do what is right. When their feelings go up and down, and when they are tempted to doubt, they hold firm to God's word and his promises, increasing in faith and hope. They trust in God with all their heart and seek God's kingdom first. Does this resonate with you? Does this resonate that if you're doing what you're hearing, you are a son, you are a daughter of God. If you're not doing it, and you've come into a covenant and relationship, repent. Father, forgive me. Forgive me for defaulting on your covenant, for defaulting on your contract. Lord, help me become what we're hearing and listening to this morning. That's it. Father, forgive me for believing the lies of the enemy, for believing that my identity was not what I knew. People perish for lack of knowledge. Repent and become part of what we're listening to. God watches over his children carefully, the apple of his eye. He is for them, ready and able to help when they ask, supplying both their spiritual and earthly needs. They are becoming more and more free from sins that bind and weigh them down. They are freeing from fear of people, from envy, from worry, from discontent. Everything works together for their good as opportunities to increase in God's virtue. Children of God are devoted to their calling, active in good works, steadfast in faith, and immovable from God's laws. They have purpose and direction in life, a heavenly vision, and a daily mission. Each day they are being trained for their heavenly calling to reign with God. They practice being kind, humble, obedient, generous, bold, pure, and patient. They love justice and stand up for what is right. They are learning to say no to sinful thoughts, to tame their tongue, and to bring their body into subjection. Sons and daughters of God don't always do what's right the first time. God's Spirit teaches and corrects them, just like I correct our children when they misbehave. God will correct us. It talks about in Hebrews that he corrects those that he loves. So the conviction that you're feeling after hearing all of this today, that's okay. That's okay. That's from God. He's saying, listen, beloved, you are hearing this because I want you to be more like me. I want you to be in a closer relationship with me. It's not condemnation. The condemnation is the enemy saying that you're not good enough or that you're not worthy. Conviction says, I want to draw closer to you. I love you. Walk, allow the conviction to help you. Allow the conviction to help you become more like Jesus. When they fall in sin, when the sons and daughters fall in sin, they repent and get back up again. But the day comes when they will never fall again. You are a son and daughter. I sin. My wife sins. We all sin. Pastors sin, right? That's a given. We can't hold pastors. You can't hold me. You can't hold my wife. You can't hold televangelists. You can't hold them on a pedestal. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all sin. But the key is when I sin, I want to ask for forgiveness immediately. I want to repent. And if I don't ask for forgiveness immediately, you better believe that Holy Spirit will bring on conviction to me and show me that I was wrong. And then I will go and ask for forgiveness if I've committed a sin against somebody else, or if I've committed a sin against my wife, or if I've committed a sin against God. He will softly rebuke me. He'll bring that spirit of conviction on me and say, Cody, that was wrong. That does not line up with my heart and with my word. And then I'll say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. Lord, I repent. And that's it. That's all we need to do. we get back up again. We keep moving. That condemnation says that you're a sinner, that you went 3 weeks without looking at pornography, or if you went, 6 months without having a touch of alcohol. You repent. You ask for forgiveness. You get back up. You move on. Lord, I repent. I have a change of mind. I don't want that. I'm not going to fall for the temptation or the lie of the enemy. That the promise of the sin, the temptation of the sin is better than your promise. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to say that momentary temptation, that momentary whatever the sin is that you're drawn to, is better than the promises of God. We're all susceptible to it. But get back up again. Repent. In humility, they ask, seek, and knock until God answers with the power and helps them so desperately that they need to be faithful in each temptation. They know that they are weak according to their human nature, so they prepare for situations to come. They spend time reading God's word, praying, and listening to encouraging messages. They believe in Jesus and the grace that he made available to them. When temptations come, big or small, they overcome where others fail because God's word, mixed with faith, abides in them. God's word mixed with faith abides in them. That's how we overcome the temptation of the enemy trying to steal our identity. They honor and praise God in their hearts because it is he who is accomplishing this amazing work in them. They are living examples of God's goodness, his power, and grace. They have entered into a fellowship with forerunners and like-minded people around the world. They put aside differences, demands, and competition to be united in bonds that won't be broken, friendships that even death will not end. And the beautiful part that sums it all up, and we're coming to a close. At the appointed time, each son and daughter of God will be received into their rightful and heavenly home, where they will reign with God in love and righteousness. They will be along in healing the nations, comforting the brokenhearted, strengthening the weak, drying tears, and teaching others to be pure and good. They will use what they have gained each day here on earth to lead humankind into a new and glorious era. That's what we're called to do, beloved. That's what we're called as kings and priests and as children of God. That's what we're called to do. It's not a say a prayer and I'm good and now I'm spending an eternity in heaven. No, you were bought with a price. You were bought with a price. I'm reminded of the talents, the story of the talents, where the master gave somebody 5 and 3 and 1. And the one, when he came back, he asked the servants, "What did you do with the talents that I gave you?" Well, the person with the 5 said, "Lord, I went out and I invested and I doubled this and now I have 10 talents. Great, well done, good and faithful servant." And the one with 3, the master gets to the servant and said, "What did you do with your talents?" "Well, I doubled him. I now have brought you 6 talents." And then he gets to the one with the 1. And the master says, "Servant, what did you do with your talent that I gave you?" And the servant says, "Lord, I buried the talent. I know that you are a unjust ruler, and I buried it. And so here is the 1 talent back." You know what happened to that servant that buried the talent? He was kicked into the darkness. He was separated from the master. And that 1 talent was given to the person that originally had 5. We are called to duplicate. We are called to represent the kingdom of heaven. We are called to bring heaven on earth. We are called to, like I said earlier, to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, and to cast out demons. That's what we're called to do. If you're not doing that, like I said, repent. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. The big deal is when you bury that, when you stay stagnant, when you're not being fruitful for the kingdom. We are called to bear fruit. And so what I want to do, I want to come to a close. What I want to do is I just want to lead us into just a confession. Just a confession. I don't want to, my goal was not to hurt your heart. My goal was not to offend you. My goal was none of that. My goal is to show you who you are. We remember the whole thing that we've talked about for the last 3 weeks, the last 4 weeks, is we know whose we are. We know that we belong to God once we come into a relationship with Him, but we don't know who we are. And that's the search. That's the questions that you have. Well, am I a worship leader? Am I a pastor? Am I an evangelist? Am I an apostle? What am I? That you listen to this. Let it wash over you again. Go back and listen to it. Let it wash over. Holy Spirit will show you who you are and the purpose that you have. And that you don't need to bury the talents. You don't need to ask, well, is it God's will for me to be a missionary? Or is it God's will for me to do this or to do that? God's will is those four things. That's it. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Everything else besides that, that's just a bonus. You could be a stay-at-home mom, or you could be a business executive. You could be a missionary, or you could be a billionaire. As long as you are fulfilling and listening to the call that God has on your life, it doesn't matter. You're fulfilling the will of God. Amen. So let me lead us in a confession. We're just going to confess this. If you have that conviction in your heart, you're like, man, I know that there are things that I need to turn over, or you know, this pricked your heart because you're doing some of it, but there's more that you know you're drawn to. Just repeat after me. Say this confession. We cancel the enemy's legal rights when we confess. We cancel them. And so now when the legal right is canceled, the enemy can't afflict you because you have brought justice in the courts of heaven. All right. So Father, let's just repeat after me. Father, we thank you for being a good father. We thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us, to be resurrected, and to now be sitting at the right hand of you. Father, we thank you that because of Jesus, we have now become kings, priests, and children of your kingdom. Father, I repent for living the way that I've been living. Father, for being lukewarm. Father, for being half in and half out. Father, for being in the world and of the world. Father, I repent and ask for forgiveness for not being sold out to you. Father, I repent for not knowing my identity and who I am in you. Father, I ask that Holy Spirit would right now come upon me and show me all of the good and marvelous things that you have planned for my life. Father, I ask that Holy Spirit would empower me to do the good things that you have planned for me. Father, that Holy Spirit would remind me to keep your commandments. That Holy Spirit would remind me to do your will, which is to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, to raise the dead, and to cast out demons. Father, I repent for burying my talent. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. And Father, I ask that you would empower me to show me how I can bring and multiply the talents that you have given me. Lord, I want to hear, well done, you good and faithful servant. Father, I cancel the plans of the enemy over my life. I call them null and void, for I am in covenant with you, Lord. Father, I break off all curses, hexes, vexes, spells, and incantations spoken against my life by the enemy. Your word says in Isaiah 54:17 that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Lord, and as a son or a daughter of you, we break those off now. Any weapon formed against me, I cancel them in the name of Jesus. Father, open my eyes to see the things of you. Open my ears, Lord, to hear your voice and the voice of Holy Spirit. And Father, break up any hard heart that I have in here and give me a heart of flesh like your word talks about in Jeremiah. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for all the things that you're going to do for me. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. That's all you have to do. That's it. So repeat that confession and know without a shadow of a doubt that you have a purpose, that you are a son, that you are a priest. Now go and live like it and tell the whole world about Jesus and the good news that you carry. Amen. We will see you next Monday. You have a wonderful week.
We trust that today's message blessed you. And if it did, please send it to somebody who really needs to hear it. And have a blessed day.